Before. All right, quite a few of you. Great. And a beautiful area there in Lexington. Commonwealth Baptist College was founded by my dad, Pastor Jeff Huguet, and his burden to start 50 new churches there in Kentucky. And don't you agree with me that we need more churches in our nation and our country? We need more preachers, need more missionaries, evangelists, Sunday school teachers. And so it came from the burden of my dad to start a Bible college to train young people, and through the giving of Dr. Russell Anderson, we were able to start the college, Commonwealth Baptist College. Some joke that we should have called it, you know, Fugit Anderson, and my dad always says that we did name it after that. My dad's the common, and Dr. Anderson's the wealth, so Commonwealth Baptist College. So anyway, the jokes get better, I promise, all right? But anyway, I'll say a few things about the college before I get into the sermon. And a few reasons to consider Bible college. Maybe you're a young person here tonight and you don't know what Bible college is. It's a time to prepare for life, to get grounded in God's Word, to learn sound doctrine, to learn biblical separation, to learn all the things that God's Word has for us from seasoned veteran men who have been teaching for many years. Dr. Jim Jorgensen has been involved in education for over 50 years and teaches biblical separation and teaches Bible doctrines and teaches a lot of classes like that. Of course, my dad, Jeff Huguet, teaches church education, and that was always a great class there. And from a man from 35 years in the ministry, we just celebrated, and that is a favorite class. By the way, I do miss meeting your pastor, Brother Bloom, and sorry I didn't get to meet him, but enjoyed the fellowship with everybody. Good to meet Brother Zukowski there, and we ate a lot of chili before the preaching, so I don't know, you may be hearing something, but anyway, I don't know, but oh, this guy, yeah, okay. But yeah, so on with the college, back to the college. The leadership at Commonwealth Baptist College, and also the experience you get there. One of our favorite days is Each One Reach One, where all the college students go soul winning, and we had a day over 300 souls led to the Lord from the work of the college kids. And just the experience, and we train them to go back to their places to serve the Lord, to be a lighthouse in all the different communities. And so we don't they don't come to college to stay there, but to go out into the different areas and to be used of God. It's also a very affordable place, a great job economy there in Lexington, Kentucky. Many get a job really quick when they come to Lexington and pay for their college in full, and then get busy in the ministry. Real quickly, talk about the music CD we have, From Star to Stripes, and that's a brand new music CD. It's only $12, and it has 10 songs on it, several from the young ladies tonight. We also have a men's group and an ensemble that's on this CD. And you say, well, you don't have a CD player. They make good coasters. You can put your drinks on them. And no, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But anyway, $12. And the more you buy, the better deal you get. So I encourage you to come by the table afterwards and check that out. We have a lot of great deals. All right, let's get our Bibles out. Let's get into the message this evening. And what a privilege and honor it is to preach God's Word. And I've been blessed by seeing the many great churches in our nation. We've been to Maryland and Pennsylvania, where we're at tonight. We've been in New Jersey, a lot of different states. And just so great to see a lot of people that are on fire for God. And as our nation approaches 250 years of independence and celebrating that this year, you know, we need to get back to God. We need to get back to God's Word. And in our Christians, our public schools, and different, we need to get back to the Bible. Amen. Let's get our Bibles out. Isaiah chapter number 1. I want to preach a sermon tonight, Blessings After Obedience. Blessings After Obedience. It's a simple truth tonight, but I believe it'll be a help and encouragement to you. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then I'll pray and start into the message. Isaiah chapter number 1. We're going to start reading verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 1, Verse number 18. By the way, this is a beautiful building, and I've never preached in a building this old, I don't think, before, but I love it. It's beautiful. Go ahead, and if you could, stand with me. Take the Word of God this evening and stand as I read the Scripture, the girls sang a lot of songs there, and so we'll let you stretch your legs one last time. All right, here we go. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Notice verse number 19. The Bible says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." And let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this service, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, a Thursday night that the Lord, your people are here and faithful to church. God, I pray that you just help me as I preach. Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit's power, and I would say what needs to be said and give us a good rest of the service. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I read that last verse. Now, that is a near and dear to my heart verse. It says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Amen. How many of you like to eat this evening? All right. You like to eat? Amen. I like to eat the good of the land. Now, that verse is simple. I can, even from Kentucky, I can understand that. If ye be willing and obedient, then shall ye eat of the good of the land. But you know that word, if. It's a small word, but it's a very powerful word. And there's a contingency. If it is the difference between a blessing or a judgment. Now, I love to get blessings from God. Amen. You like to be blessed from God. But you know, we have to be obedient before a blessing is rewarded. Many times we want the blessing without the obedience. Sometimes we get that mixed around. It's easy to get that out of order as a Christian and expect blessings without obedience. Let me give you an illustration. So from Kentucky, I love to play basketball. And I'm pretty tall. And so I grow up there down from Rupp Arena there in Lexington. I love playing basketball. And I would spend hours out shooting hoops in the front. And I remember my dad, he would say, "Now, Jeremy, you can play basketball, but I need you to cut the grass before you play basketball." All right, that's it. You got to be obedient. You got to cut the grass, and I'm going to be gone. And I remember I would get that lawnmower out, and I'd have to crank it a bunch. You know, I never did start the first time. And I'd crank that lawnmower, and I would take it out, and I'd see that basketball sitting in the corner of my eye. And I'm like, you know, mowing the grass isn't a lot of fun. Maybe you think it is. I don't know. But, you know, I'd mow a couple stripes, and I'd look over, and I'd see that basketball sitting there. And then I'd be like, you know, I could just go take a couple shots, you know. And so I'd be like, well, I'll get back to cutting the grass. You know, those two shots turned into three and then four. Before you know it, I wasted all that time playing basketball instead of doing what I was supposed to do. Of course, then my dad would get home and he'd say, "Son, you only cut two stripes." And I'm like, "Yes, sir." And I got punished for that and got taken to the woodshed, amen, and never cut any wood, but we built a lot of fires, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I had to be obedient and cut the grass before I could play basketball. Let me give you one more illustration. How many of you, now you kids, you'll relate to this. How many of your parents make you eat those broccoli and peas and vegetables? All right. And you eat them every time, right? Oh, they put their hands down. Oh, she eats her vegetables. All right. We got confession time. All right. Do you eat your vegetables? Well, I know as a kid, my mom would give me a big plate of green vegetables, and I would look at those, and I'd play with those peas and mash them, you know. And I would see out of the corner of my eye a big chocolate piece of cake over there. And you know what? I had to eat my vegetables before I could enjoy that chocolate cake. Amen. And I had to do what I was supposed to do and be obedient before I received the blessing. Now, in your mind, I want you to think of an equation. that it equals blessings. Now, I know that's a tough breaking out algebra on a Thursday night, all right? But, you know, in order to figure out equation, you take what you do know to solve for X, what you don't know. Well, there's some things that we have to be obedient in what we do know to learn what we don't know that equals God's blessings. And when God has the answers all along written in God's Word. You know, I'm glad as a Christian we don't have to guess of how to live. He gives us His Word clearly instructions how to live as a Christian. Turn over to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. We're going to get into the story of Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." So notice God's Word says that Naaman was a mighty man of valor. Now I will say one does not come mighty overnight. It takes work. Naaman worked to become mighty. He was a strong man. He was a man of war. And you know, I imagine he was physically strong. Kind of like me and Brother Zukowski. And no, I'm just kidding, okay? And he was a strong man. A mighty man of honor. And a great man, but you know what? He had a problem. It was leprosy. You know, leprosy was a deadly disease. And when they got lepers, they started developing sores. And they started losing an arm or a ear. And eventually, it would cause the death of Naaman. And the Lord had delivered Syria because of Naaman. You know, go ahead in that equation. Remember, those things that equal God's blessings put in work. You know, Naaman had to work to train to fight and deliver the Syrians. You know, many never receive God's blessings in life simply because they will not work for them. You know, it takes work and dedication to do something for God. Amen. You know, I think of Noah and the story of Noah building the ark and the much sweat and the work he put. And, you know, they laughed at him. They mocked at him. But that didn't hinder him from doing the work God wanted him to do. You know, just because others may laugh or mock or make fun of how you live as a Christian, you know, we shouldn't quit doing what's right. You know, God's Word, we should apply God's Word to our life no matter those that may mock or make fun. You know, the ministry, I joke that 75% of the ministry is carrying chairs from this place to that place. We have a lot of chairs. We're always carrying chairs. And but you know, the Bible says Naaman was a mighty man of valor. The definition of valor is great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. You know, valor is different from just having courage. You know, sometimes we can say, yeah, you know, just dare someone to fight me. You know, I can whip anybody. And then, you know, sometimes we'll say, that guy better never come near me because I'm going to whoop him. And then when the time comes to fight, what do they do? Well, I was just kidding. I didn't mean that, right? And I was just joking. You know, valor is having courage when a battle comes. To have valor. So in that equation, you can write down work. Now let's look at verse number 5. Look at verse number 5, 2 Kings 5 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." We see here that money was sent, and he was going to try to get the king to heal this dreadful disease of leprosy. Look at the next verse, verse number 7. We've seen the king's reaction. "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man does sin unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me. You know, he was just a man. You know, if he went to the king to heal him of his disease, and you know, he was just, the king was mad. He said, am I God? But then, notice Elisha, the man of God, look at verse number 8, says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Let me say tonight, we can go a lot higher than a king. We don't have to just stop at a king. We can go to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, you may have a problem tonight that a doctor or a physician may not be able to fix your problem. But let me tell you, you take it to the King of Kings, the great physician, and he can make a difference in your life. You know, Elisha had confidence. He said, why are you tearing your clothes over here? Come on now, it's not that bad. You know, we serve a God who can heal your leprosy. And you know what? Are you going where you're supposed to be? Aren't you thankful that Naaman went to the man of God? And you know, I think if I had a sickness or ailment, I'd want to be close to God's people. And typically, I know Wednesday night you hear prayer requests, right? Of those that are sick, those that need an answer from God. You know, I want to be in church to have others that will pray for my needs. Aren't you glad we can go to the God who parted the waters, who turned the water into wine, the God who caused the blind to see? You know what? Naaman, he finally found the right man. It wasn't the king, it was God. You know, we ought to be faithful to the house of God. You know, just one sermon, just one truth can change our lives. You know, just knowing for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Well, I pray that everybody here tonight knows 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die. But, you know, you must be obedient to go to your church, to go to church. You won't find a perfect church. You know, I was saying this the other day, a church isn't a museum to see perfect Christians. They don't exist. It is a hospital. You don't go to a hospital and see healthy people laying in the beds, do you? They're sick. You know what? A church is a place where we come as sinners and we get help from God's Word. But you know, Naaman went to the right place. So let's write in that equation, not just work, but faithfulness equals God's blessings. You want God's blessings, be faithful to church. Every time the doors are open, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now let's see his reaction. Let's look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Notice verse 11, but Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know, he said, you know what? He could have just healed me. Why do I have to be obedient? Why do I have to do what God says? That goes back to my first illustration. Why do we have to be obedient to get God's blessings? Why can't, God just, yes, here you go. Here's your answer to prayer. Here's your blessing. Nope, God wants us to be obedient. But he was wroth. You know, let's not let the blessings God has given us cause us to have pride in our lives that hinder future blessings. You know, Naaman was a mighty warrior. Why would he lower himself to go to this dirty Jordan River to dip himself 7 times? Let's look at the next verse. Verse number 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Is that sometimes how we react to the preaching of the Word of God? We think the preacher is just picking on us and preaching on our sins, and we get angry and we stomp off and say, you know what, I don't want to do that. And we become angry from what God tells us how to be obedient. Well, maybe it's something we need to change. Maybe we need to change our language or how we act. Let's not become angry and miss out on a blessing. You know, if Naaman would have said, nope, I'm out, I'm not doing this, he would have never been healed of his leprosy. Now let's look at verse 13. The Bible says, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?" You know, they said, if he has you, stand up on a mountain and everybody watching you and this amazing thing, then you would be for it. But since it's just something to go to the Jordan, then you don't want to do it. You know, sometimes we're willing to do things in public that everybody sees. We're willing to come to church, but are we willing to do those things that God calls us to do, to go up and knock a door in soul winning, to work on a bus, to do those things that may not bring publicity to our name, but boy, they sure uplift the name of Christ. And to do those things that we don't want to do, but bring God's blessing. One wrong thing said can cause you to lose out on God's blessing. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." You know, you can be a mighty person by controlling your anger. Let's never look at our obedience, our task for Christ, and become angry. But let's be willing. Naaman was a mighty man, but lost his temper. Notice verse 14. He finally got some sense to obey and do what he was told to do. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And notice, his flesh came again like unto a flesh of a little child, and he was clean." God healed him miraculously, but you know what? It took his obedience. I believe if Naaman would have only gone down six times, he wouldn't have been healed. But it was seven times exact obedience. You know, going back to equations, now when I was in school, I used to try to find shortcuts. I'm sure none of y'all ever do that, do you? And when you're trying to find the answer, do you like, I can skip that, I can skip that step, and I can just come up with the answer? Sometimes that's how we live the Christian life. We try to skip the steps of obedience to receive God's blessing. But you know what? It's important to follow the directions. You know, when you solve an equation, there's an order of operations. All right, now we're getting really into some thick stuff in mathematics. And you do everything in order. PEMDAS, parentheses, exponents, and then I won't do the rest of them. All right. But you know, you got to go in the right order to solve the problem. You do one thing out of order, you're not going to find the answer. You know, it's important that we trust the process. We trust God's process to obey and how he wants us to obey him at that time and not get ahead to want the blessing without obedience. And, you know, the Lord pays attention to detail. Sometimes we obey how we want to obey and not what God commands us. You know, God has an order for us to obey. Don't run from God's call. Maybe a young person or someone here tonight, God's calling you to the field of to be a preacher, maybe a missionary, maybe evangelist, maybe a school teacher. You know, don't run from God's calling. It didn't work out for Jonah, did it? God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And instead of doing what God told him to do, he went the other way. He got on a boat, went to Tarshish. And you know the story. The storm came, and Jonah knew it was him, and they threw him out of the ship, and he got swallowed by the well. And God gave him another chance. Aren't you glad we serve a God that's merciful and great when we mess up? When we get out of order, we do the wrong thing, we get angry, God is ready to give us another chance. But you know, let's not mess it up the first time. Let's just decide we're going to do right. I think Jonah, if he would have had it over again, he'd have been like, I could go without being in that fish's belly for 3 days, all right? He's like, I could have done without that. So let's just obey God the first time. But don't expect God's blessings in your life without first obedience. Oh, his obedience brought a huge blessing. He was healed of his leprosy. His life was restored. You know, the king of Israel couldn't heal him. Right. He went to him. He thought that was the answer. Gave him money and everything. You can't buy blessings. Right. You can't buy blessings from God. God gives them when we're obedient. A quick story. My mom, a few years ago, was making a pitcher of sweet tea. All right, we drink a lot of sweet tea. Do y'all drink that up here in the north? Okay, yeah, you still drink that. And she was making sweet tea, and it was really hot. And she dropped this pitcher of sweet tea and fell on it, and she cut her fingers really bad. It was really scary, and I remember the blood that went everywhere, and it was really bad. We rushed her to the hospital. Now, my mom is our church organist. She plays the organ every Sunday, and I remember my dad was heartbroken because my mom couldn't play the organ, and the doctor told her that she'd never play the organ again. And I remember she had all these contraptions on her hand, and she had to exercise, and you know, that she thought she'd never play again. And the doctor told her she wouldn't. And I remember hearing her, you know, pecking on that piano and doing those the strength training with her hand. And then one morning, I remember my mom starts playing the piano again. And you know what? The Lord gave her strength in that hand to play the piano again. You know, when the doctor said that she would never do it, God had other ideas, you know. And God gave her that blessing because of her obedience. Notice verse number 15, and I'll finish with this. Verse number 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He worshiped God. You know, many of you can think of a time where you were going through a trial, a heartache, and you were obedient and God gave you a blessing. Do you count those blessings today? Or are we like the children of Israel? You know, they wandered through the wilderness. God provided manna. He provided the food that they needed, quail. But yet, they murmured and they complained. And it caused many of them to miss out on the promised land. You know, sorry, my voice is going in and out. You know, let's not ever miss God's blessing because we murmur and complain and give up on God's will for our life. Praise God for His goodness. You know, maybe you feel distant from God. Start thanking God for all He's done. Start thanking the blessings that He's given you in life. If you have a place to live, you have food to eat, boy, you're amazingly blessed. Blessed to be a part of this great church. And God has blessed you. You know, there's another story of 10 lepers. 10 were healed, but only one thanked the Lord, and he was made whole. You know, leprosy caused, as I said, caused them to either lose an arm or a body part or something. You know what? The one that thanked the Lord, he was made whole. I believe if he was missing an arm, his arm came back. That's what the Bible says. You know, so we should thank God for our blessings. Last of all, he was rewarded. What a blessing to be sick with the deadly disease of leprosy than have the flesh of a little child. Something that would eventually cause death. You know what? Well, there's something that Christ did for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, just like leprosy, we're dead in our sins. You know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ gave his life on the cross so we could be saved and have a home in heaven. But you know, it takes obedience to get the blessing of salvation. I was out witnessing in New Jersey, and it's kind of funny, not many of them understood me, and I didn't understand many of them, but I still went soul winning, amen. And I talked to a man, and I gave him the plan of salvation, and I asked, are you going to heaven? He said, yeah, I think I'm going to heaven. And I said, "What?" Just curious, why would you say you're going to heaven? He's like, well, I'll try to do all the right things. And I was like, doing the right things, okay. Well, you know what? The Bible says we're all sinners, and there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven. You know, the only thing we can do to have salvation is to cry out, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, it can't depend on what we can do. Our works cannot get us to heaven. And I told him that, and you know why? He's like, well, I've never done that. He prayed his head right there. His name was Denny, and prayed and asked Jesus to come in his heart and save him. You know why? God has a heap of blessings ready to give each of us. We just have to obey and do his will. You know, maybe you've been saved tonight, but you've never taken that first step of obedience and baptism. You ought to make that decision to do that. But let me ask you, if you've never been saved, what a great night, a Thursday night. Normally an off night, but we're in the house of God tonight, amen. And you know what? That'd be a great night to make a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I tell you what, we're all going to die. It's appointed unto all men once to die. And you know what? Whether we go to heaven or hell is dependent on if we make that decision to trust Jesus Christ. Don't wait another day. Don't wait till it's too late. God has eternal life in heaven. It's like the lady saying, boy, he has streets of gold. He has a mansion prepared for us. You know, if you have an NIV, you just get a little room, you know. But I'm glad I got the King James Bible. I get a mansion, amen. Let's not wait. Let's just decide to be obedient. You know, that equation, all those things that I gave you to worship and to work and to read God's Word, to be obedient, all those things, you know what? We know what those are. We can do those, and God will solve His blessing for us. You know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You know what? The Bible says that He loves us, and those things that we may see is trials and burdens. You know what? God has a blessing waiting for us if we'll just be obedient. Everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes. Please stand for the invitation.